All this morning. It's been a pleasure to be here. Lots of new faces, and some familiar and some not. But we're glad to be here as a family. I guess, am I on here? Okay. Thank you. Yeah, just been blessed to be here. I was thinking I would read the one song that we sang, the one verse in the song kind of goes with the theme of what I wanted to share. Or it was the on the one song, "The Sands of Time Are Sinking." The last verse, it says, "The bride eyes not her garments, but on her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not on the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land." Are we gazing at the bride? The bridegroom. We are the bride, the bridegroom. Are we continually gazing toward Jesus Christ? Is our focus on him, or do we get sidetracked? Amen. Why don't we just pause for a word of prayer, and then we will continue with that. Heavenly Father, we just so thank you again for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for this time we could have together to look into your word. Thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And Lord, we thank you that the church, the body of your bride, is made up of individuals. And Lord, as we look into your word and how that all works together, and Lord, may you just give us wisdom how we can do our part and how we can be submitted to just being faithful servants in your kingdom. Lord, just teach us again by your word today, and help me as your mouthpiece to share things that would give people direction and comfort and conviction where conviction is needed. And Lord, that we can all continue to grow in grace and in wisdom and knowledge with you. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that can illuminate the scriptures to our hearts and minds and give us wisdom and understanding in our everyday life. We thank you for your faithfulness to us again this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, I was thinking a little bit of, you know, usually when we get together for a meal or something, we have appetizers, right? Or sometimes, you know, sometimes depends what it is. We don't normally do that at home, but sometimes, you know, couples nights or different things, we have appetizers. So maybe we'll start out with some appetizers a little bit here this morning. In Peter has, he mentions some verses that often intrigue me or inspire me. In 2 Peter 1:13, it says, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Now, what was Peter trying to stir up? Is that what an appetizer is supposed to try to stir up? I don't know. It's supposed to get us ready for something better, right? But if you look at what he said before that, he was referring to building godly character, add to these faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge, and he was encouraging the saints to continue to build on that. He said, as long as I'm here, I'm going to remind you. And I think I would say that too. As long as we're here, we need to be reminded of that, don't we? To continue to build godly character. It doesn't come naturally. The more we cultivate it, the more natural it should become in our lives. To continue building godly character. And then also the Hebrew writer says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke one another, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Provoking one another unto love and good works. Now, there's opportunities that we can provoke each other. We can provoke each other the wrong way, or we can provoke one another unto love and good works. Have you ever, do you ever think about how that can be done? How does that look in real life? Do you have, I mean, I'm open for, I can write them on the board. Do you have a marker around here? Oh yeah, right here. What are ways that we can provoke one another to love and good works? Or we can also put negatives down if we want to look at the negative. Encouraging word. Okay. This must be a bad one here. Church attendance, that's because it mentions that. Don't forsake church. I have put down, I think testimonies, sharing testimonies of what the Lord is doing in your life can be an encouragement. Do you find that encouraging in your life? Testimonies. What could be something else?
Example.
Answered prayer. Anything else? And probably not spelled right, but answered prayer.
Fellowship.
And sometimes repentance, you know, just sharing what you're struggling with can sometimes almost be, you know, when we share what you're struggling with, it can almost make the other person feel like, unaware of what was happening or what was going on. But at the same time, I think it can be a way that we can exhort one another. And you know, if we don't share what we're struggling with, how's the other person going to know? Unless they have to draw it out or they have to figure it out. So I think it's good if we just repent to one another and yeah. So that's just kind of what I wanted to, you know, just an appetizer of. You know, how do we provoke one another? I think sometimes it's more easy to provoke one another maybe in the wrong, or it can be, you know, we provoke one another in a wrong way. All right, for a scripture for the message, I'm going to write the title down. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. The title of the message. members one of another. So if you want to turn, I don't know if you're in Ephesians chapter 4. But before we read Ephesians chapter 4, I would like to look a little bit what Ephesians chapter 3 is about. Ephesians chapter 3 is talking about the church. I'm going to read the last part of Ephesians 3. In the beginning, it says the revelation of the mystery of the church. And then in the last part, starting in verse 14, it says, for this cause I bow the knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Here he's talking about the church, and then he starts in to say how to walk, members one of another. How do we walk together? There's a walking together that happens in the body of Christ, that we, if we're members one of another, how many of you in here do some kind of construction? Quite a few. I do construction, me and the boys, and we have people helping, but members one of another. If you think of building something, what goes through your mind? I mean, I'd like to talk about that some more, but let's read here in chapter 4. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness of mind and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And then he keeps on going there, and for the sake of time, I'm going to cut it a little short here in reading. But if you go on down to verse 16 or verse 13, it says, till we all come to the union of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that ye henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That verse 16 I wanted to point that out a little bit there, where it says, the whole body fitly joined together. Fitly joined together. What do you think of fitly, as we were talking about this earlier, fitly joined together? You know, those things there, you know, if those are happening in your church, I don't know if you have I'm assuming you probably have a line where you communicate together as a body, as maybe little smaller groups or something, where basically you interact with each other, or you share burdens, or you share things things, you know, just communication one with another. Fitly joined together. I don't know what goes through your minds, but what does it look like to be fitly joined together? In building, let's just look at, if you think of a building, what in this building here wasn't somehow fitted to be where it is? What's that? The bricks? They are cut before they came here, but then they were put in place, right? But everything is fitted for a certain place, and Christ has. Thank you. Talking about the church, Jesus is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body, and he's going to put the members, as it reads here in Ephesians. If we read on down, we're going to read down to verse 25. Let's go to verse 23. It says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Members one of another. And I think that's the biggest thing. If you look at the difference between what in the Old Testament, you know, there was these people, certain people that kind of mostly walked alone. You look for Moses and Noah and Abraham. Christ is still. I mean, he's an indiv- he wants to be a personal God to each one of us. But then the body of Christ, what Christ is doing to build his church that he's going to come back for sometime. Here it says we're members one of another. How does that work? I get this picture in doing construction. You know, there's a difference between a pile of lumber and a building. And what all happens from the stage of a lumber pile to a building that is useful? What all happens during that time? You know, first there has to be, usually when we make a building, there's a plan, there's a set of plans. Right here's a set of plans for your, if Jesus Christ is building the church, he has a set of plans. And then are we as individual members, are we looking at the plans? Do we agree how, there's differences, there's usually differences of opinions. Quite often in a church, or maybe you're different here. Is there differences of opinion around here? Never. We must not be real people. But we need to be subject to what the blueprint is saying. We need to be building how the blueprint says. What is that? I mean, there's some basic things of. You know, that we need to be pretty settled on. That is one, for marriage, you know, and that Christ came in the flesh and there's different, and he was born of a virgin Mary. Those things are pretty basic things that we all agree on. But then there's those in-between things that are maybe a little more, it could be this way, but I can also submit to my brother. That's where the submitting comes to. And how many of you like to submit to one another? If it's the way I think, then that's okay. But if it's the way you think, then it's not submitting. It's, yeah. So, but Christ, let's remember the bigger picture. I don't know if I'd like to give you a picture in your mind. If I was an artist, I'd like to draw something that would inspire you to look, to keep your eyes on that, and that is the bride of Christ. Christ is coming back for a spotless bride. Let's keep that in focus. And what takes place from if you think of a lumber pile, and you think of a building, or you think of a bride of Christ, and you think of a bunch of people, what is the difference between the a bunch of people and the bride of Christ, or a lumber pile and a building? What's the difference in what all happens in that? You know, let's just look at the building part. You know, every piece of lumber that came out was complete in itself, right? Everything was, a 2x4, a 16-foot 2x4 is a 16-foot 2x4. It's nothing wrong with it, right? And if we've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, we've been washed from our sins, we're complete. But you haven't been fitted in the building yet. Maybe you're part of Christ. If he came back, would you be ready? Or he's going to come back when the bride is ready. So he hasn't come back, so maybe you're not fitted yet. Because it says we're members one of another. And another thing that in a building is very important, one of the first things is a foundation. You know, that's when you go to build something, you can't build without a foundation, without putting what you're using to build has to be on a solid foundation. And that is given to us here in just a couple verses in Isaiah where it says, a cornerstone in Zion. Isaiah 28:14 says, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. Then the overflowing scourge shall pass through. It shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and our falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, because of the people going the wrong direction, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion. Zion is often referred to as the church. And in the Old Testament, sometimes it's Jerusalem. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth on shall not be in haste, it says. And then another one in Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that ye might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You know, ultimately, life is not about you and me. It's about Jesus and his bride, that he is glorified. Let's keep that in mind. Because so often we get into the members one of another, we can rub each other the wrong way, and sometimes it's taking off. We heard this morning about chastening, that we need to look at chastening as a positive thing. And quite often we don't, do we? But God can help us to look at it in a positive way. But when you hear it, here it talks about Zion, where he wants to give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. I mean, don't we all want to be a part of that, where we get, when things go when things don't go good, that he, in return, you know, he's chastening us, and then he gives us beauty for ashes. The things that look like were against me turned out for good. So if you picture Christ coming back for his bride, a complete and a spotless bride, one that's been through the thick and the thin, and they've kept their focus, they've kept their eyes on him. Those are the ones he's coming back for. Ready to meet him, that were put in place, that he set in the... Because if you look at a building, I always keep going back to this thing of, you know, being fitly joined together, members one of another. We just got done doing a building where, you know, when we started, there was before, when I met with the owner, there was this pile of weed. I mean, there's just this weeds growing up. So we got a guy into, you know, excavate it, and he brought it up to where it's not it was kind of low, so he filled it up. That's another thing. We can't be, it's got to be up out of, our spiritual lives have to be in a place where it can thrive and flourish, not in muck and mire and whatever else is going to hinder it. But he, you know, we had a guy come in and do the excavating, and then we dug holes, and we had, you know, we put a foundation in, and then we got this pile of stuff. It just looks like pile of stuff. And that's what, you know, people, you know, if you just come together, if you're not members one of another, you're just a pile of people, just like a building. But we had a purpose. We had a plan. When that stuff showed up, when that pile of lumber showed up, and God has a plan. Are you connected to the plan that he has for you? Just because somebody disagrees with you or rubs you the wrong way, might be a good thing for you. I mean, when that lumber pile comes, there's all kinds of different sizes of, there's posts, because it was a pole barn. There was posts, and there was small boards, and there was big boards. And we used the one we wanted, where we wanted it. And God will do the same thing for you and me. He'll put you where he wants you. The problem is, right, other people. I could do what God wants me to, but then it's other people, right? Well, guess what? God has somehow made it that way that, and we heard it this morning, that if we don't love our brother, then we don't love God. It's so simple, it's almost humorous in a way that how easily God made it to where we can test ourselves. Members one of another. Here's in Romans, it also mentions that. I'm going to just read a couple of verses in Romans where it says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Members one of another. But I think one of the bigger things I see in the church, in a body working together, is maybe sometimes it's where it talks about here is not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think. How do you? And I don't know, I have the answers for that. I don't know, how do you gauge if you're thinking too much of yourself? Anybody have a gauge for that? How do you know when you think too much of yourself? It says, don't think of yourselves, not to think of himself more highly than you. Because if we think a lot of ourselves, how likely am I going to be helping, looking out for someone else? Because Jesus said, you know, to the guy that came to him and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And one of the things that Jesus said is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you think too highly of yourself, are you loving your neighbor as yourself? I mean, just a question. How do you figure out if you think too highly of yourself? Because that's usually where it can be difficult, is when we think too highly of ourselves, that we don't think enough of other, what somebody else might be hurting, or somebody might look for need. Maybe there's a need that you can. We don't see needs. I think we're likely not to see needs if we think too highly of ourselves. We all have it. I don't know how you want to say it. Interesting or intriguing how God made everybody different, but yet the same. And how he has made the. You know, he's expecting when he comes back, he's going to come back for a bride that is prepared to go with him. Are we preparing for that? God didn't put us together without having a purpose in mind. It's not a mistake that you all are together here as a church, and I don't know what all you go through, but if I know enough about people, that I think I can safely say that God put you together for a purpose. And can you figure that out? If you look at the blueprint, and you continue to keep your eyes on Him. Don't remember, the goal is being prepared when he comes back. And all the, you know, when there's building in a physical building, when we're building a building, there's quite a bit of noise going on sometimes. You ever have noise here going on while Christ is putting you together? When Christ is building his church, when we're building a building, there's usually noise and dust and dirt and some scraps, right? You ever, what are the scraps? I don't recommend you all get up and say who the scraps are, but is there scraps in my own life that God is taking care of? There's usually noise. There's usually noise in building. You know, sometimes I've said this before, because we have attitudes can be such a big thing in a brotherhood, in members one of another. You know, we can say the right thing, but our attitude can be wrong. And we need to. I think we heard a little. Was it the children's lesson? We heard a little bit about attitudes. Our attitude can be so. We're not. Yeah, we want to do the right thing, but we have a bad attitude. And sometimes I say, you know, you can be as strong as you want to be. Like in a brotherhood, you can be as strong as you want to be, you know, kind of voice your opinion. But then if you add behind it that, you know, I'm still learning, that makes all the difference. But if you just say that with a bad attitude, that doesn't work either. But are we all learning yet? We're all learning, right? Because Christ is the one that he knows what we need, and he's perfecting us. Remember, he's coming back for a spotless bride. as I said before, chastening, should be a part of our members one of another. We heard that this morning too. Here, I wanted to read a couple of verses in talking about the church, the bride of Christ. In Lamentations, it says, the church is called different names, and I'm not sure, there might be more names. It's called the bride, the church, or another one is the apple of his eye. And as I was meditating on this, the apple of God's eye. And he also, in Psalms, it also mentions us that the psalmist writer said to keep God's word as the apple of our eye. But here it says, in Lamentations, it says, their heart cried unto the Lord, O wall of daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. And then in Zechariah 2:7, it says, deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoil you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. The church is the apple of God's eye. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking of, we sang that song this morning of the love of God. If the ink was, the ocean was ink and all of the skies were parchment made, and the love of God, how big it is. If God takes people like you and me, and he's going to come back for you and me as a bride, as part of the bride, what kind of love is that from a God? Because if you think about it, it says that the streets up in heaven are paved with gold. How many of us, if we had that much gold, would go and take care of some fallen creatures? That's just a thought that I had. God has all the gold. He knows where all the gold is in the world, and the streets in heaven are made of gold, and then he comes down and he wants to dwell with man, and he wants us to be with him. Isn't that kind of mind-boggling? It is to me. It just shows the love of God. If the streets in heaven are made of gold, and then he comes down and he redeemed mankind. He made a way of salvation for us. He didn't just try it, he did it. And then we have a hard time sometimes submitting one to another. Just think of, keep the end goal in mind. And just realize that the noise in building sometimes is what's needed to, because we don't want just people, but we want members one of another. As I was thinking about this, there's little phrases sometimes that can just kind of gives you a little glimpse of what that consists of, members one of another, just attitudes of, I don't understand, or can you explain it to me, or what do you think about, if you want to do something, if we're members one of another, how do we communicate one with another, if you want to do something that maybe nobody else in the church is doing, or maybe you have an opportunity to do it, and you can ask somebody else in the church and say, what do you think if I do this? I don't have anything in mind. I'm not sure what y'all, but there's probably things that, sometimes you get tempted, or tempted, or there's opportunities that you have of making maybe lots of money, and if I could do this, I could, you know, I would be really good shape if I could, you know, make a lot of money. Or what's the, would it be good if I would just ask my, one of the brothers in church, you know, what do you think about, you know, if I do this? You think it's a good idea? You know, that I think that speaks of members, one of another. Kind of an accountability. You don't just do your own thing. If you're members, one of another, if I just went in here, you would probably be a little disappointed or disgusted at me if I came in here and I just took some pieces off of the church house. It looks like something is missing. You know, sometimes if we just do something on our own and we don't really confer one with another, it can almost be that way. It can kind of it hurts, or it doesn't feel right. Lord, help us. Help us to realize what it means to be members one of another. I don't know how you all do it, but I guess I want to encourage you. I want to provoke you to consider those things. You know, if you're members one of another, then look for ways that you can consider your brother, consider your sister, or your, you know, families, you know, as you work together. I wanted to see, there was also another one in Corinthians. If you want to turn over to Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In my Bible here, it says, the test of the Spirit's control, diversities of gifts, and the importance of gifts. Down in verse 12, maybe we'll read from 12 on down. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. I think we need to keep that in mind as we're part of a church. You know, we can't just, yeah, you can go do your own thing, but then there's also the day of judgment is coming too, where we'll have to give account for the things that we do. Verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. Just like when we build a building, I can put the boards and things right where I want it, because I'm the builder. Now, if Jesus is the builder, it gets a little more difficult for us, you know, in a body working together. We can say, well, he didn't do it right, or I didn't have anybody come, the last building we built, I didn't have anybody come and tell me that I didn't do something right. But in a body of believers, it tends to be a lot more interaction of, you know, accountability. You know, there's more ideas. But sometimes there's more ideas, there's more, there's more opportunity for God to be glorified, you know, if we submit ourselves one to another. God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as he's, it has pleased him. But you know, in a building, you know, what if I just put things where I want to, I would have workers that would disagree with me. Or if I just started doing stuff out of the norm, if it wasn't according to the blueprint, if I just start doing stuff out of, that's not according to the blueprint, I'm pretty sure my boys would start looking at me a little cross-eyed and wondering, you know, why am I putting a 6x6 post on top of the wall? Or that wouldn't look right. And can we stick with the blueprint that God has given us? I mean, what does that look like? There's probably a lot more could be shared on how that, how to follow the blueprint. We built a house too not too long ago, and we, you know, there was always, we'd go back and we'd look at the blueprint and we make sure, and we measure some. There was one place where we had to figure some things out ourselves, and we had to make it work. The blueprint wasn't quite what it could have been, or maybe it was, something was off a little bit, but then we had to modify it. But I don't think we need to modify what the Lord is doing. We just need to ask for wisdom, how we can, Lord, how can I be a useful member? Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and to our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I like that. You know, when one suffers, there's more there to help him, you know, to we do things together. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles and are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, and do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I you a more excellent way. I thought I needed to read that last verse, because we can figure out everything, and we can try to figure out all, you know, where, try to put every, you know, each member is functioning in its rightful place, and, you know, everything is going smoothly. But if chapter 11 doesn't come into the equation, then it doesn't really do any good. The more excellent way, the love of God that is greater far than tongue or pen can tell, if that doesn't become part of my life, if it's not part of my life, then being members one of another doesn't, it's going to take more than just being members, being part of a church. The love of God needs to be in your hearts. What time do you usually quit here, 12? I'm pretty much done here. There's a lot more that could be shared. Yeah, I guess I want to just leave you with that picture of how God is building. Keep that in your mind. God is building the church, and he's coming back for it. And are we prepared for when he comes? In Isaiah it says, "How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." In the church, can we say the Lord is reigning? And I also love that part in Isaiah where it talks about the old waste places. They shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. I like those promises where he gives, as I mentioned before, he gives beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. And remember, this is a good one here too, in thinking about Jesus coming back for his bride. You all know the verse in First Kings where it says, when Solomon was building the temple, and the house when it was in building was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. You know, when the Lord returns, there will not be any building noise. He's coming back for a bride that's ready. It's going to be done. The bride is going to be ready. Are we part of it? What can we do to be a part of it? In Peter, it talks about, I know maybe it works better for me to say this than it does for all the ones leading out here, is submitting yourselves one to another, because it doesn't work so good for a leader to come up, or to those that are leading out, to say, you just need to submit to me, right? No, not to me. It's to the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, and then it says to one another. That's what Peter says. It is in the context of ordained leadership. There in 1 Peter says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." I like how it says that. All of you be subject one to another. That doesn't just mean Sundays, I don't think. I think that's every day of the week. How do we do that? How do you do that? It's just being subject one to another. Lord, help us to be subject one to another and to, and remember to be clothed with humility. Humility and you all know too that, you know, it says humble yourselves. It's way better to humble myself than to stick my neck out and have to be humiliated, because that doesn't work so good. If I humble myself, God will do, what does it say? God will exalt you in due time. It doesn't say, it might not happen right away, but if I humble myself, God will exalt me. I thought we would, as a family, we have a song that I kind of like, that kind of goes, that talks about the church. I don't know how many of you know it. Fair Zion, it's called. And I thought we would sing it as a family in closing here. So I guess I want to leave you with that. Just keep the bigger picture in mind. As you go through waters and difficult times, let's keep the bigger picture in mind, which is the finished product. And don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I don't know what all you as a congregation are going through, but if you're people, then you're there's, and we're still here, and God, Jesus still hasn't returned for his bride, then there's probably things that he's still chipping and cutting away at you, because just like a pile of lumber, the difference between a pile of lumber and a building that is useful, there's a lot of things that happen in between. There's endurance. Sometimes there's just kind of, while we were building this last building, you know, it was warm. We just had to, there was some sweat involved. And if Christ is building the church, there's probably going to be some sweat involved. So just plan on that. Keep the bigger picture in mind and accept. You all heard the little phrase where it says, you choose your destination and accept the consequences rather than choose your path and then accept the consequences on the end. I'm not sure, am I saying that right? Choose where you want to go. If you have the bigger picture in mind, and then you know that there's going to be noise in the, if I know I'm going to build a building, there's no way that I could, I mean, it wouldn't even be possible to build a building without some noise. And I don't think he expects us to just all be very nice to each other, and we're all going to get along with each other, everything's going to be fine. There's going to be difficulties. At the end of the day, when we're done building, there's scraps go there, and by the time we get done with the building, it's not a lumber pile. It's something that's useful and that Christ wants to dwell in. When he's done building, it's going to be a bride that he comes back for. And the sooner we get ready, the sooner we can go with him to meet him in the air. May the Lord help us to keep our hearts and our minds and our focus on him. So maybe with that, we'll sing the song yet, and then we'll close with, I'll turn it over to the moderator. So if the children want to come up, we'll sing that. It's called Fair Zion.
Beautiful Zion, fair bride of the Lamb, thy marvelous light we behold, which shone on the nations enshrouded by darkness, and millions were brought to thy fold. O Zion, fair Zion, the church of the first. church of the firstborn, my heart in its rapture rejoices in thee. The angels in heaven behold thee with wonder, thou glorious city, thou home of the free. O Zion, blessed Zion, thy son shall no more go down in obscurity's night. From out thy perfection of beauty is shining the rays of God's wonderful light. Eternity's ages of bliss shall be thine in regions unclouded above, and there shalt thou dwell evermore with thy Maker, delighting thyself in his love. O Zion, fair Zion, thou church of the firstborn, my heart in its rapture rejoices in thee.
Last line where it says, and there shalt thou dwell evermore with thy Maker, delighting thyself in his love. That love that we sang about this morning, that if the ocean was ink and the sky was a parchment made, you know, we can experience some of that now, but when we're actually there, I don't think our little minds can comprehend what it's going to be like. So don't forget. Just don't forget the bigger picture. It's for the God's glory. It's not about you and me. It's for his glory. Sometimes we get sidetracked and it looks more like everything is just here. No, it's not here. We're looking for what God has prepared for us sometime. Amen. God bless you.